from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who's slowing it down to help you unwind and drift off to sleep. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. If you're a regular listener, if you could, this is what keeps the show free. If you could just pay attention for the next few minutes, or when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now, if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz. Got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. All right, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. I wanted to thank Jennifer V, who signed up and got herself a Casper. Join the Casper family. You can find out about Casper and all our sponsors over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Thanks so much. Hey, everybody. I don't know if you've checked out any of our live shows yet. You know what our live shows, kind of people chill, they fall asleep, they watch kind of what it's like to have a slightly more interesting version of the podcast or very similar. So some people are engaged. So if you want to check out our live shows, I got tickets for our June show up. But I also got big news about PodX runs from May 31st to June 2nd in Nashville. And not only am I doing a Sleep With Me live show, I'm going to be on a bunch of panels there. And you know everybody's favorite podcast producer, podcast host, Stephen Ray Morris. I'm going to be on See Jurassic Right with Stephen. So you don't want to miss that either. You say, well, geez, I love Scoots. I love Stephen. I love Jurassic Park. I love the Percast. And you could get 10% off. What does it say? You could get 10% off any ticket type by going to podx.com/sleep or entering the code sleep at checkout. And you could always find out more information at sleepwithmepodcast.com/live show about all my appearances. Can't wait to see you there at PodX or here in Alameda. Thanks, everybody. And Mystery Bard, who helps out on this show?
This posty poster some sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. Could be for Mother's Day. It's coming up soon. Or Father's Day. It's coming up too. Ooh. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie and Jennifer, these are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Twinster, I'm still waiting for my application to be approved on Twinster, the social media app for twins and just twins. That's what they told me. So they said, don't expect your application to be approved, you know. And I said, well, I'm moving on to Twixter. That's the social media platform I'm starting for people that enjoy Twix or, you know, Twix adjacent people. Except then I already heard from that company, and they said, no, we don't think so. But anyway, you know, one day we'll all be communicating. You know, those of us that are Twix fans, you know, we'll find other stuff to talk about other than caramel coating or whatever. Wait a second, am I getting my Twix and my Kit Kat mixed up? Anyway, let's get it. I forgot what I was going to remind you of. I'm at Dear Scooter. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. I'm glad you're here, and let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights and press play. We're going to do the rest. What we're going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time, or temperature, routine, whatever's keeping you awake. So anything physical, anything on your mind or in your feelings, or situational, transitory, or, you know, dictionary related. Because it's a, well, you could be going through, you know, anything what you're going through. Even if you don't, even for me, baffling stuff, or baffles. I think it's been a while since we've talked about baffles before. That's what I would say over the breakfast table, you know, to my, like, I'd say, you know what? I feel like it's been forever since we've talked baffles. Could we just sit down and, baffle one another? Honey, I'd love to just shower you with baffles. As a matter of fact, I would. I'd love to baffle you in baffles, but I got to get to these new listeners. Then I'll get back, baffle me. But that's what I would say. That's what on the day we met, that was the thought bubble in my head. Really? Oh wait, you're a figment of my imagination, right? Because I said, wait a second, this is it. If you're a new listener, excuse me. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm going to try to create a safe place for you to set aside whatever's keeping you awake. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders. There will be baffling. You will be baffled, and there will be baffling moments. Well, there will be times where I question that, though. I say, well, what's one step removed from baffling? You say, is it buffling? Baffling. Baffles an A. Baffle probably starts with an O. But anyway, yeah, probably be some baffling, buffling. Buffling sounds something like it could be food related. Traveling. Well, I was moving, yeah, that was the buffle effect. That was the sound you heard on the train. It was a buffle effect. Sure, it wasn't the Doppler effect. No, the Doppler effect's a totally different thing. The buffle effect is, you know, it's made up by Scoots. It has nothing to do with sound waves. It's when you're looking out the window, daydreaming. Are your daydreams moving at the same speed as the train or not? Now I'd say they're moving at the same speed as your heart. And that's caused by the buffling effect. It's an example of the buffling effect. Well, what's the example of you going off topic so quickly into the intro? Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm baffled what we'd call that. What's it when you pander to a pun? A punder. That's when I say, well, I'm going to pun. That's another, word I use in my, you say, oh, yeah, punder. Oh, boy. Let's see. Punderware. Of course, we had to fit that in. I was trying to get some space between one thing and the other. We say, well, what would punderwear be? And he'd say, well, it's pretty close to like a lot of underwear now. Or underoos were more, they weren't puns. They may have had, you know, you had like your heroes and heroines. Punderwear, it's undergarments for people. I'm not a good punnist, so I don't know what I would like, how I'd make a pun about punderwear. By using a pun, that's why I probably have to find a business to partner with. Okay, so let me get back to the new intro with all my word making up. So if you're new, I'm glad you're here. Let me tell you a couple of things about this podcast. It can be a bit different. It's here to keep you company while you fall asleep, while you drift off. I'm here to be your boar friend, your boar bae, your boar cuz. And what I propose to do is keep you company. Here's what to expect from the show. Now, it doesn't work for everybody. So if you're listening, if you can, give it a few tries. That's what most reviewers say. It took two or three tries. It's nothing on my needs level. I'd really want this podcast to help you and work for you. If you listen to once or and move on, or if you listen to two or three times, I just want to help you fall asleep. So give it a few tries. I guess I'm saying I don't have an agenda in saying that. Other than trying to help you fall asleep and, you know, getting, you know, maybe, you know, I'll have some punderwear to sell one day. If I say, come on, pun brain, wake up and give me a pun, a punderwear related pun for the love of puns. You say, sorry, I'm still trying to think anything buffle and boffle related. You say, I think the part of my brain is playing boffle ball, like a bit like wiffle ball. You see, is it anything like pickleball? No, boffle ball is like way more mellow than, it's like mellower than wiffle ball. Not quite like Nerf, like not, okay. Oh, you're right. I got to get back to the new listeners. So podcast a little bit different. Structurally, what to expect. Show starts off with business. That's how we keep it free for everybody that needs it. It really is a service that's just supported by the people that support the sponsors and support the show on Patreon. And then there's an intro, which we're probably like halfway through. And the intro is just me kind of rambling about trying to describe what the podcast is and going off track. That's like my side of it. Your side of it is it's here to ease you into bedtime while you get ready for bed. While you're just getting into bed to get settled. And here's really like part of it is like, I find the idea of an instant sleep solution contradictory in some sense. Now, if this podcast puts you to sleep right away, that's great. I mean, especially if you support it, but I don't know that that's realistic for everybody. So I'm here to do what I've seen work for some people, which is ease you into bedtime, drain some of the seriousness out of the room. If I can, barely maybe make you smile or make a neutral look on your face. While you get comfortable, I try to describe what the podcast is for like 12 minutes and never get to the point. So that goes into the other two elements about the show. You don't really need to listen, and there's no pressure to fall asleep. I'm here for an hour to keep you company as you drift off and mildly entertain you. So if you can't sleep, I'm going to be here. And if you can, I'm going to be here. Either way, I'll even be here like on call. Like you could set your sleep timer for 55 minutes or 45 minutes, or some people set it for 8 hours. But I'll still be here on call if you wake up and you need me. So I'm here to keep you company. So show starts off with the intro. Then tonight it'll be our ongoing episodic series, Big Farm in the Sky, PI. Is that right? Episodically modular, correct? Between the intro and the show is business as well, and then there's thank yous at the end. So it's a structure show. Those are the kind of rules around the show, like non-rules. Don't need to listen. No pressure to fall asleep. And I do make the show like I was trying to say before, because sometimes sleep can be baffling where I say, huh, don't know why I can't get to sleep. I really prefer to get right to sleep. And then I was thinking about nice words. I think I fell in love with those words. I don't know if anybody else heard that. What were the words I fell in love with? Not punderwear. I just find that makes me giggle on the inside. Baffling. First, we were talking to someone, an expert on buffling. I mean, maybe not. Maybe it's just what I can't remember from 6 minutes ago. Oh, yeah. And then I said, baffle me. And then I said, okay, that part of my brain says baffle me. Pander to my puns. These could be catchphrases. If I had a catchphrase-based podcast, you say, pander to my puns. Baffle me, baby. This is pushing it, but it is kind of the thing about the podcast. This is the truth. Baffle me all night long in my punderwear. There you go. That would be a catchphrase for the podcast. Or your pajamas, punderjays. You say some people have punderoos. We have punderjays. Also a new bird they just discovered. They're trying to decide whether to name it after Stephen Colbert or a nonsense word Scoots made up. Scoops. Oh, no, Scoops. Bummer. I thought it was me. And, oh, no, it wasn't. That was the name of the scientist. Her name was Dr. Pun. But what do we call it? Punderjay. Dr. Punderjay. Well, I'm glad she discovered that bird. Could I pretend at least it's named after a nonsense word I made up? Oh, no, they're final. Okay, well, I just won't ever say that word again, punderjay. Except when I write an ode to, because you can't, if it's poetry, I can use the word. It's a lowercase, punderjay. Oh, punderjay, your call that I've never heard. Actually, it's interesting that I'm having an ode to a bird because there are birds in this episode coming up. Your sleepy call, deep in your nest. I yearn to sleep as you do, punderjay, my punderjay. Okay, well, yeah, it probably needs some work, especially since I would be a better ode if I was familiar with the life of a punderjay. How about punderbear? Okay, good. I've had enough. What was the other word I was making up? Baffling and baffling. We could listen to the one day. This would be my all-inclusive vacation spot. See the punderjays play baffle ball at, what would we call it? Casa de Scoots? What are the names of some vacation? Air Z and Z, that's actually a pun that some part of my brain thought of. Couldn't come up with any puns about punderwear. But when you talk about an easy pun, but it was witty, I'd give it to you. But, okay, so anyway, I guess my puns have petered out. Or oof, I'm tuckered from all those that punning around. And around a boffle ball. It was the rules of that game are baffling. You're correct. That's the whole intention of it. And that's the intention of the show, is to keep you company, to be a bit confusing, and help you drift off, to be here at your side. That's it. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive, and I really want to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, here we are with another episode of our ongoing serial episodic series. Is that right? No. Episodically modular. Excuse me. Pardon moi. You know, there's a bit of seriality, mixed in there, though, just because we're getting towards the end of the season. But you could listen to these in order. Really, it's made to be modular. Serially modular and episodic, and also paradoxical, and maybe a little, hypocritical or whatever you want to say. But what is it if you're new and your first time here? You say, well, lay it on me, because... And I'd say, are you Baloo, the bear? Or, Louie? Oh, because I will lay it on you, because it is a story, Big Farm in the Sky, P.I., Season 2. Just like Season 1 covers the adventures of Simon, G-E-E, and D-K, capital D, capital K. Three PIs or mystery solvers, much like the great kid detectives, as opposed to the very hyped adult detectives, the great kid detectives of the world, including the ones I'm not familiar with across the globe. If you have a favorite kid detective, too, hit me up online at Dear Scooter on Twitter or Instagram. Honestly, I do better with tween fiction and kids fiction anyway. So maybe I could check out some good, now that the season's wrapping up, I won't have to worry about it. When you're hearing this, I'll already be done, so then it won't mess up my plot lines. But just like the great kid detectives are solving cases, the main difference was, or is, that Simon, and is and was is apropos here, like Simon... was G's uncle in the earthly realm that we live in, except for those of you that are listening beyond the earthly realm. What up? How's it going? Oh, you really need a distraction, I bet. I didn't know you could tune into podcasts down there. That's great. I mean, it gives you for sure. Oh, you're being forced to listen to this podcast. Interesting. You know, I'm in the middle of a setup for the story, so I got to go. Oh, yeah, you decide. I could come visit you, maybe. Okay, I don't know if anybody's going to trace that podcast to come back to me, but, so they live in the earthly, so G and DK are tweens. They live in the earthly realm. Simon was G's uncle, or still is, but Simon transitioned from an earthly life as a human to that's exactly what they say, and Simon's keck got chashed, and Simon went from the earthly realm to another realm of existence, this one called the Big Farm in the Sky, not the Big Farm, not below, not above, and not in between, its own realm. A full-featured realm, too, where Simon went to exist in another stage, another phase or season of life, I guess, depending on how you define life, if you want to get technical. Like no longer mammalian human life. So Simon was living in the big farm in the sky. And one of the perks of big farm in the sky living is you can get a fresh start. So Simon started becoming a PI up there, solving mysteries. With the help of G and DK, because Simon stayed in touch with them via vapor action, we'll say, for this one. Simon was one of the few, not everyone that goes to the big farm, almost no one that goes to the big farm can visit Earth as a vapor, but Simon can. And full-featured, so he could go, he could talk to G and DK. And in season two, in season one, Simon would get help from G and DK. In season two, G and DK are running their own business of solving mysteries, and Simon's kind of helping them, a little bit more like a sidekick than actual helper, no offense, Simon, but, or you could say narrator. And basically what happened was, so G and GK were already good students. They made a proposal at their school. What if we do independent study, go live with DK's Aunt Penny in the towns, which is the largest retirement community in Florida or the world, maybe, and help, and it's with an E, T-O-W-N-E-S, the towns, in one of those, I think with a serif would be what the font would definitely have some stuff on it. But they went to live there. I don't know if it would be a Gothic. I'm not a real font expert, so please don't put me on the spot. Especially those poor beings in that other phase of existence. They don't want to hear me prattling on about fonts that I know nothing about. But so, where was I? I don't know. Simon's helping them solve cases. Oh, they proposed their school. We're going to go start our own business, problem-solving business, kind of like PI, but more broad and general in the largest community, retirement community, and that'll be our semester study. And lo and behold, the school went for it. One piece of advice for anyone thinking about doing this is make sure your school... make sure you know the rules in the state you're in and the other rules so that your school gets attendance credit, because in the end, that may be what's important to them. If we're using this example, that's how they said, well, you'll still get a credit for us being at school full time. So there's that. Don't worry. The state of Florida, you know, is not getting our attendance credit. So also the teachers wanted them to flourish, and they said, well, this is such a great opportunity. We'll help you navigate this, the other things. So just good news all around. And so that's what's been going on this season, is they've been down there solving cases. And I think that kind of catches you up. Like each episode kind of starts with its own case most of the time. Some episodes have been two-parters, but they're kind of two-parters in a way. You could listen to them more or less in any order. And also waiting patiently, we do have a celebrity introducer, announcer, I guess. And talk about kind. We just spent 14 hours plus in the car together. Went to a movie while we waited for traffic to go down. Mr. Antonio Banderas, everybody. Thank you. So ladies, the gentlemen, the boys, the girls, the friends beyond the binary. It's time for a big farm in the sky. Let's crack this case. Yeah. And oh, yes, my friend, it was nice going to the movie with you. I won't say what movie because it's bedtime. But it was good. We went in Valencia to a movie. Never been to a movie there. It was good. Easy to park. You did good. And it was good to spend all that time with you. Also, we stayed in Motel 6, which was new for me. Okay, yeah, you probably, like, let's not get too many details out there, Antonio. But yeah, we did. We were roomies, right? Yes, it was. We were roommates. Yeah, so we shared a room. Believe that or believe it or not, probably not, but So thank you. Thanks. If you could go lie in my bed and just listen to me record and not move even the blankets, because while you might think blankets are soft and they don't make a sound when you're amplifying the mic, they actually do. But, you know, most movies have sound people, so probably a famous actor would not have, you know, you learned, my friend, you learn something new every day. Blankets are noisy. Yeah. Thanks, that's Antonio Banderas, everybody. This is Big Farm in the Sky, PI. Hey, Diana, Simon here. I wanted to check in and say hello. Well, hello, Diana, it's Simon here. And right now, when you hear me, Diane, I'm back. I'm in it's the Phantom Minnow, actually, not just Simon, which will take some explaining and probably recap things as I remember them. But I started here in the Big Farm, Diane, and that's where I'm coming to you from, is the Big Farm. And it looks like I should have recorded a little bit better, but I'll do that just like I was recording. You know, I recorded most of the things in my mind. And it looks like I'll probably be here in the Big Farm for a while, because when I say I'm Simon and the Phantom Minnow, things have kind of changed a bit. Like, I'm kind of in that situation. I don't know if you have a computer, Diane, and you know that spinning wheel, or when something says, things used to buffer. They don't buffer as much anymore, but they still can. You know, if you're watching something on YouTube or something, or music, you're streaming, sometimes something can buffer, and I'm kind of like in a buffering. Also, that's a podcast. I think the McElroys, Sydney is involved in still buffering. Oh, no, someone's saying no. That's not a, it's a podcast about Buffy? Okay, well, that's not about buffering, then I guess, Diane. So, yeah, so I guess I don't have a lot of details, so I know how I got here. One more analogy maybe to help you understand, Diane. Here's the thing. Like, I'm mostly Phantom Minnow mode, even though, kind of like if a superhero, like, here's the thing. Well, okay, there's Dr. Manhattan. I don't know if Dr. Manhattan's technically a being or a superhero. Is it Dr. Manhattan, Diane? Okay, you don't know. But, like, if the superhero was always the superhero, I'm trying to think of any, like, there's the dude that was, like, he worked with Tony Stark, then he was also the AI, and then he was a being. Did I follow that plot correctly, Diane? Oh, but yeah, I think he was able to change into human mode, too. But if a superhero, a Black Widow, she's always in, well, she's also Natasha, though, so that's not true either. Pepper, she's a heroine, but I don't think she has superpowers. Speaking of Pepper, there's a Pepper in this story, different one, though. And, okay, so Diane, like, just like if a superhero was always in their superhero mode, that's what I kind of got stuck in. I can't go back to my alter ego, Simon. Also, I'm here in the Big Farm, but we could get to those things. It's so I'm just in the Big Farm. I haven't figured out. I'm having some issues with getting connecting to the earthly realm. But just like GNDK, this will help me help me think things out at least. Let me tell you how I got here. Okay, where it all started. Correct. Starts with birds. Pretty birds, as someone once said. In a boardwalk, it sounds very romantic. There's a romance to birding, and not a platonic romance, I think. And it really starts on a boardwalk over a swamp or through a swamp or a watershed. I don't know if a watershed and a swamp are the same thing. And this was one of Aunt Penny's favorite places to visit, Corkscrew Springs, Diane. Just on the edge of the towns, just outside of it, not actually part of the towns, but paid for as part of their, like, when the agreements they came up with and, you know, protected the land. I think one of the societies also helps run it. Maybe one of the birding societies. And it's this lovely natural area. It's a swamp. It's also a forest. It's also got brush it has open water, but it has a lot of water with trees in it, and it's full of birds and other forest wrens, trees, waterfowl, logs, raptors, flowers, feathered friends, plumage, forest friends, buzzing friends. And it's really nice here, and the boardwalks are nice. There's different, like, nature walks, I think they call them. And there's benches in different places. There's shade. There's places with sunlight. There's places with covering. You could probably bring a snack. I don't know what the rule, you know, I don't really snack. But we did have snacks. Yeah, we did have lunch. I mean, I didn't. You could bird watch. Like, bird watching is the big thing here. And so, I mean, the main thing is, why wouldn't this be one of Aunt Penny's favorite places to go? She likes birds. And there's a lot of birds here. And then G&DK kind of needed a little bit of a hobby. Aunt Penny's wise, maybe wiser than I am. And so she said, this is a soothing thing, going bird watching and just walking, listening, bird listening. And so not that long ago, G&DK and Aunt Penny and I, you know, Aunt Penny's not familiar with me, but we started going on these bird walks, or what do you call it? It's not a leaf peeping. I don't think it's bird peeping, because that would sound, but birding. And but they, like, there was a whole different, there's a bunch of different clubs. But one thing that's interesting about our friends at G&DK is they don't really, they started to kind of find, now they're young, and sometimes people say, oh, these youngsters, they can't, you know, they're always on their screens. Oh, no, you know, those things. And I don't, I mean, at G&DK, they do have devices, and, but I think there are a lot of times, also they're very competitive, so they like having fun. I think they like something a little more contextual, or I don't know if they just didn't appreciate, they appreciated the appreciation of the birds. They liked the birds, they liked the boardwalks, and they wanted something just more engaging. They wanted more, so they kind of came up with the idea of gamifying bird spotting. I guess that's what, maybe that's what they call bird spotting. And I'm sure they're not the first people to do this, but it really helped engage them, much like the business helped engage them in running a business by doing it. They started to kind of start to work with, because there's a visitor center here. And so they started to work with the people at the visitor center and look at the traditional population of birds in Corkscrew Springs. And migration patterns, and this time of year, other times of year. And they put it into a spreadsheet or something, and then they started to come up with a point system based on the likelihood of seeing particular birds, and, like, density and all that stuff. And that was kind of their first stage, was like, okay, if you see this bird, like a hen-speckled pecker bird, that's not rare. So you say, okay, it's 1 point, and they say, oh, a golden-eared finch. Well, that one's fairly rare, 20 points. And it was kind of a game. And then they kind of added, you know, they'd say, okay, you could take a picture of it, or, you know, we could go on. They're just always testing out on these bird walks. Then they kind of added in other things, like extra games, like looking for particular things, like, oh, does it have find birds with this color? Like, anybody that can take 20 pictures of birds that have, like, you could call, it says something on them that's like burnt sienna, or, you know, green plumage, or ones that were more for voting for fun, where they would do a lot of giggling, like most collection of birds that look like celebrities. You also had to have pictures of the celebrity, though. Or Fabulous Finch Day, only finches. and they really had fun with it. Then they tried to do bird calls recording, because some of Aunt Penny's friends were into it too. The recording of the audio, though, didn't go good, because they said, okay, it's really hard to record on your phone. It's a lot more steps than just taking a picture. But they did, you know, happily. Like, they're at that stage of friendship where they do a lot of laughing, and everything's funny to them. And I think, plus, this is just a fresh, relaxing distraction. So, like, I don't know. And they you know, they weren't saying, you know, it's supposed to be a little bit quiet in the swamp, so they were laughing, but, you know, if you're in the car with them, they're singing the whole time. Yeah, but I really feel like they learned a lot, and they were like, maybe we could build an app based on this. Is it, what are the, how are the UIs and the apps that already exist? And they started to kind of try to figure out more and more, like, would anybody, Aunt Penny's friends, be into this? How's the point system? Is it fair? Doing testing, just like these A-B testing they do with me. But the whole time, like, a lot of people said, oh, do you have, is there any parrots on the list? And they said, well, there's, like, they said, yeah, basically, this is where the parrots are. There's actually, you know, and they said, well, to be honest, there's not just one kind of parrot. But they said, oh, no, Pepper the parrot. So there's this legend about Pepper the parrot here in the Corkscrew Springs, this legendary parrot that lived here. That was mostly heard, everybody would say. And Gene Dickey said, well, when can we see it? And at first, when they heard about it, it was on the section of the boardwalk called Moss Lane, a loop, actually, into an area with some mossy trees and different kinds of moss, even the moss that, like, hangs off the trees. But that part of the boardwalk was under repair when they first started, but they were just finishing up the repairs. So G and TK were like, we want to go find Pepper. And so really the timing was great, because they did reopen that part not that long after. And that was a really forested section of the springs or the swamp. And they kind of asked the staff, and they said, oh yeah, Pepper's in there. Pepper won't stop saying, hello, hello, Pepper, Pepper. And they said, it's just a pet that got away. Why do you care? And they said, well, we're going to add it to the list. They said, what does Pepper look like? And they said, probably green, like most parrots. And then they said, no one had really could give them a clear answer of what Pepper looked like. And G and DK did research to say, okay, likely Pepper would be green. For the amount of volume and talking, Pepper. I don't know. I didn't pay attention. They're talking about species of parrots and birds. Yeah, but they said, okay, well, it would be hard to spot because it is green, a similar green to the sun shining on the underside of leaves. But everyone they asked, everyone had heard Pepper, but no one had seen it. So they gave Pepper. Like, Pepper became, like, this big points. Like, if you got Pepper, you got 1,000 points, which would win. Yeah, but it also, like, made G and DK very, very curious to find, we're going to find Pepper. We're going to be the first people, and we want to see Pepper. So it was a lot of hype and buildup at first. Like, they were really excited for the boardwalk to open. They were doing a lot of questioning of the workers. And then finally, it was this 1.2-mile loop, that finally reopened Moss Lane, and Gene DK were very excited. They had the binoculars and their hats and their camera or their phones or whatever devices. And the first day the trail, the boardwalk, the nature walk was open, they went out there. And they took it slow, and then it wasn't until they were, like, in the middle of the loop, where it looped back around, deep in this mossy forest, which you'd say, okay, not only do you have the tree leaves, you also have green moss, which is a parrot-like color. And then some people get toucans and macaws, and those are things I get mixed up. So I had to be correct. I said, isn't it turquoise or red? And they said, no, those are macaws. Maybe, I don't even know, Diane. I'm remiss. But finally, they thought they heard some squawking. It was in the shady spot, a really nice part of the boardwalk. Then they heard, hello, Pepper. Hello, Pepper. And they would say hello back, and then Pepper would, and they'd say hello, Pepper, and then Pepper would say hello back. And then finally Pepper said, Pepper wants a cracker. Pepper wants a cracker. I think maybe one of them said Polly wants a cracker, which is a common thing with those birds. But then Pepper said that back. But while one of them was, you know, they couldn't see Pepper. They kept looking and listening, but it seemed like Pepper was just up in the trees where they couldn't see. And so they were frustrated. And then they went to the bird thing, and they said, well, what if Pepper is a pet? Could we, like, bring some crackers or some bird seed or some suet tomorrow? Parrot food. We'll go to a pet store and see, you know, make sure everything's on the up and up. And the staff said, I think it'll be okay. Don't feed any, you know, other birds. And actually that section of the woods just happens to be, because of the amount of shade it had, and I think just that Pepper got on all the other birds' nerves, that there wasn't a lot of birds there. And the staff knew that, so they said, okay, yeah, you could probably try to feed Pepper. You know, don't, just to see. And so that's what they did. And now it turns out it took a lot of driving to get to a bird, they had to go to actually a Rural King to get the bird stuff, because there's not a lot of pet shops, but Rural King had plenty of bird stuff there. And they checked on the internet to say, okay, this is what parrots would eat. And so they loaded everything up. They got the sunscreen. They got some water. And they headed out for a day and they had cheese and crackers also for their snack. But they had also checked, what crackers could you give a wild parrot or a parrot that had, I don't think parrots go feral, but return to the wild, possibly return to the wild parrot or self-taught parrot. And so they went out there, and at first they just put the suet or the bird seed thing out. I don't know if that's what you call it. That's just what I call it. That might be something different. But, you know, like a big block of bird seed stuck to other, tasty bird stuff. And they sprinkled some seeds and stuff. They crackered a couple of crackers. And maybe Pepper gets up late, because then finally Pepper said, hello, hello. And then hello. And then so they started talking back, hello, hello, Pepper. They let Pepper talk, and then they said, Pepper wants a cracker. And then they were like, gee, wants a cracker? And they were kind of eating the crackers. And Pepper was talking to them like they're just those things, but not coming to get any crackers or food. But Pepper didn't come. And it did sound a few times like Pepper was a little closer, but Pepper didn't come, and... But they had prepared for the whole day. You know, G and DK, they're professionals. So they had sat there for a while, and they said, okay, this isn't going to work. They started kind of brainstorming with one another, saying, Pepper wants it, Polly wants a cracker. They said, what other things? And for some reason, G said, pieces of eight. Pieces of eight, I think because they were pretending like they were flipping crackers, they're playing some flipping cracker game, but they were also they were thinking while they were playing the game. And then Pepper said, pieces of eight, oi, pieces of eight. And they said, wait a second, Pepper can say more. Or then they said, can Pepper say more? And Pepper said, hello, Pepper. Pepper wants a cracker. And they said, pieces of eight. And then Pepper said, pieces of eight. And then DK said, oh, I used to say, instead of ahoy mateys, I used to say, oi my keys. I thought that's what, when I was a kid, I thought it was oi my keys. My grandfather left the house without his keys. And so they said, oi my keys, oi my keys. And then Pepper said, ahoy mateys. Ahoy, mateys, steady as she goes. And then they looked at one another. So they started talking They said, steady as she goes. And then Pepper said, mum's the word. Mum's the word. And then they said, pieces of eight. And Pepper said, pieces of eight, shiver me timbers. And they said, okay. And then Pepper said, ahoy there. And they said, ahoy, mateys. And then Pepper would say, steady as she goes. And mum's the word. And then they said, ahoy there, mateys. And then Pepper said, there she blows. There she blows. And Pepper also said, big farmers tell no tales. So they started to get a lot of more language out of Pepper. But they still didn't see Pepper. They just looked and listened and looked and talked. Then they went home. It was time to go home. Full of crackers. They said, goodnight, Pepper. And actually, Pepper said, goodnight, Pepper. But Pepper didn't come. So they went home. And they said, well, okay, what went wrong? And they said, well, Pepper talks like a pirate. Maybe at first they were like, maybe Pepper's like a pirate. And they said, okay, well, maybe we should dress like pirates then. If we'll talk like pirates, we'll dress like pirates. And we'll have a pirate day. And then, so they did that. And, oh, boy, was it fun. And then everybody said, what are these get-ups? And they said, arr, shiver me timbers. These aren't any get-ups. We're looking for our me bird, Pepper. They were really good. And again, they would do a lot of laughing too. So it was very nice to see them laughing. And they went out on the boardwalk, 0.6 miles. And they had their water, their sunscreen, some snacks for the day. And they went out and they talked to Pepper. Pepper talked back. And they said, okay, we just got to build some rapport. But then they quickly realized, wait a second, this isn't just pirates. There was something about it that they realized it was just that ride at the Disney World, Pirates of the Caribbean. Because they kept saying, oi, my keys. And then Pepper would say, ahoy, mateys. DK said, I think I also would say Pirates of the Carabiner. Because they thought it was pirates with a carabiner, not Caribbean. And that joke led them to realize maybe this wasn't a real parrot. Maybe Pepper, watched those movies or something. So then they started enacting the movies and the ride. And they said, we're going to buckle some swashes. And much more. They just had a great time. And then anytime they did something like it was on the ride and not the movie, it felt like they could hear Pepper. They could hear the branches and Pepper responding, shiver me timbers, pieces of eight, getting closer and closer. And even one of them had a spyglass instead of binoculars. But no matter what, they couldn't see Pepper. And Pepper was getting close. They could hear Pepper. And they were trying to make the most of it, and I was there helping. But it was also very frustrating because he said, Pepper's close. How can the three of us not spot Pepper? And then they even figured out, where's Pepper? They said, where's Pepper? There she blows, And then Pepper actually responded and was trying to help them in saying, look starboard, mateys. Look a little to port. And then they said, where's Pepper? And then Pepper would say it. They'd say a little bit more port, a little bit more starboard. Then Pepper would say, there's Pepper, there she blows. But they didn't see Pepper. And again, they said, what in the heck? And it was like they were trying, then Pepper would move naturally. And then they'd find Pepper again. I think Pepper thought it was a game. But it was like a hide-and-seek where you couldn't find the person at all. And eventually they said, this isn't possible that's happening with all three of us. It's a mystery. And then they said, but we got to go home now because it was the end of the day. The park was closing. And they said, see you tomorrow. Good night, Pepper. See you tomorrow. Good night, Pepper. And as they went home, they said, well, what could the mystery? They said, Simon, I think tomorrow you need to go into Big Farm or Phantom Minnow mode. And I said, why? And they said, well, okay, So we have a bird that's talking like it's from the ride Pirates of the Caribbean. And they said, think about it. One of the great legends of these Disney rides is that people sneak in recent big farm residents spread dust to dust around the ride. And they're not supposed to, but people still do. And I didn't get it at first. And then they explained it to me till I and I said, oh, so you're saying Pepper could be a post-earthly resident stuck in parrot mode. And they said, yeah, maybe Pepper spent so much time in the ride. And so we went back the next day, and I changed into Phantom Minnow mode. And so I kind of looked like a minnow, but, and we were still dressed like pirates, too. Or I wasn't, but, you know, I could make myself like a... But when I was a Phantom Minnow, it was kind of like a bird, a minnow bird, because it can float anyway. I mean, it could float when I'm in a human mode, too, or looking like a human, Simon, Uncle Simon mode. But so I changed into the Phantom Minnow, and immediately, I guess, I didn't really totally realize this, and maybe I'd forgotten that it kind of changed to how I view the world. And we'd already been luring Pepper closer, and then boom, I could see, because they said, there she blows. And I looked where DK was looking, and there was Pepper, a parrot and PHOTM or whatever. And we said, okay. And then we kind of talked. I said, okay, I see Pepper. And they said, what do you, and they said, Pepper. And then I kind of got closer to Pepper, and Pepper didn't kind of, and I still had, I made sure I looked like a pirate too to maintain trust and rapport. And then I kind of breathed slowly as I got close to Pepper. Not so much for trust, but to kind of help Pepper relax and center the bird. And then I said, Pepper, you lost? And he said, follow me. And then Pepper eventually did. And then even Pepper ate a couple of crackers, even though it wasn't actual consumption when we consume things. And sat there, as I sat there on the handrail of the boardwalk, and G and DK sat in their portable chairs. And I said, we just kind of talked it out with Pepper, like, oh, maybe Pepper was once a person, like, you know, the whole thing, and then dust, and then in Pirates of the Caribbean. And maybe it's a time, and I don't think Pepper totally got it, but we were more saying it in a soothing way. And then we said, maybe we still need, and I said, Avast, it is I, the, and I said yes to the whole thing. GDK taught me this. And I said, Avast, it is I, the Phantom Minnow, and I'm setting sail for Treasure Island in the morn, and I'm looking for one brave parrot to be at me side. And I said, and then G and DK said, well, we got to go back to school in a couple of weeks, and also we're probably not as brave as a parrot would be. And Pepper kind of looked at them and we started to see in Pepper's eyes an understanding. I mean, maybe Pepper didn't get the subtext understanding, but said to Pepper, said, Pepper can. And I said, Pepper, will you follow me and accompany me to Treasure Island? Treasure and adventure await us both. My keys, you know. And so then they said, maybe you should set out tonight, for the moon is full. And, you know, that's what G and DK said, you know, get going. So I said, okay. And they said, huh, this will be interesting, because I don't even, and I said, maybe say yes again and just trust. So I said, let's set sail, Pepper. Climb on the back of me ship, the Phantom Minnow. And I tried to make my Phantom Minnowness look like, and I look really good in the moon because I'm already like, so it was like a Phantom Minnow and a Phantom Parrot, and the parrot was riding in my back, pretending it was a ship. And I even started to notice that Pepper had like a pirate kind of outfit on. You know, and I said the whole Davy Jones thing, and I was trying to remember everything I could from the ride to keep And I said, gee, DK, I'll see you later. We're headed to Treasure Island. Sometimes I got stuff from the Goonies and Treasure Island and Pirates of the Caribbean are mixed up. Yeah, but then we headed to I just started heading towards the moon because that was the only thing. Because they said, I don't really know how to get back with someone riding on my back. And I said, oh, the North Star is going to darn guide us. And then I noticed some mist to the right of the moon and enveloping the moon. And Pepper and I hit, and I said, this is as thick as your pea soup. Pepper was giving me advice, about finding a port in the storm and anchorage. And then I found the fog getting thicker and thicker. And actually, in some sense, it was a denser and denser. Like, it did become as thick as pea soup, and it was tiring. And I started to feel that I had to, shed even more and more of my Simon. Like, at first, I guess it just kind of happened naturally. I said, okay, I'm sweating. And I said, but I'm a phantom minnow. And I felt myself more becoming a minnow and less of a former Earth resident as I wriggled through. And I said, hold tight, mateys. There's seas about. I don't know. I didn't know all the lines that they would have. And I said, the deck will pitch, batten down the hatches. And then I kind of became even more like a minnow. But not a normal minnow, like a minnow, a flying, like a minnow pretending to be a pirate ship with a parrot on its back. And what was strange was the more I became like a minnow ship, I started to feel, and I said to Pepper, batten down the hatches, I felt at first Pepper's wings holding around, I guess I don't have a just holding on to me like I was a horse or something. And then I started to notice what felt like fingertips instead of the wing. And so the more I became the Phantom Minnow, and the more I pressed on through the thickness of the fog. And I felt good, but it was like, and I swam, the more I felt Pepper becoming like a person. And eventually what happened was I kept wriggling and wriggling and becoming more and more minnow, like till I was in full minnow mode. I think just my fish brain was in it working, and I broke through the fog. And there below me, which was still a full moon, was an island with a big anchorage, like a big little bay. Like right out of a movie, had three big hills, waterfalls or things. And I said, okay. And then I saw down, there was a beach and there was a bonfire. And so I made my way down there and I felt a slow, quiet breathing on my back. So I knew Pepper was asleep. And eventually, I got down there. And I stayed out of a little bit of distance from the bonfire, but I saw someone there, and they were having a pirate party, and they were laughing and having fun. They clearly weren't real pirates, but they were clearly enjoying themselves, and I got a little bit closer till I was just on the edge of the light. Now, that I was also still a minnow, so it's kind of it's tough to explain how you move. It's just like a superhero. I guess I can transform from I'm a phantom minnow. Yeah, but so then I got close to the edge of the light, and I laid Pepper, who was now dressed as a piratress, I'd say. And I laid her on the ground, and just enough so that the light was catching her shoulder and her, whatever those hats they wear are called, pinafores. I don't know if that's what it is. And someone said, I've asked mateys, we have another pirate. And I crept back. And then I saw that they were overjoyed. And Pepper woke up and she was overjoyed. And everyone was happy. And then I said, okay, like, if this is a big farm, like, I'll just head back to home. But then I said, well, I probably should update G and DK first. Because, you know, kind of like texting someone when you get somewhere. And I tried to transform back into Simon. I couldn't do it. I tried to just summon up G and DK. Couldn't do it. Tried to go back towards the moon and find the fog. And I couldn't do it, Diane. And now it's been a few days. And I'm still in. I mean, I guess it's good. I just got to figure out, you know, I just want to check in with G and DK and get back and see them. You know, I miss them a bit. And I can sense them, so I know everything's cool. But yeah, that's it. I'm going to go take a rest is what I'm going to do, Diane, and then try to figure this out, getting a hold of G and DK, okay? Thanks, Diane, and good night. I want to say thanks and good night to everybody that commented on Cast FM, Maggie, Andrea, and Charlie. Thanks, and good night. Megan, thanks, and good night. Princess of S, thanks, and good night. Kay, thanks, and good night. And Manny, thanks, and good night. And then I want to thank everybody that commented on or wrote a review on the Apple Podcasts. Fun with Owen, so good podcast, puts me to sleep. I used to sleep so good. Now it's your podcast, I go to sleep. Thank you so much. At first I didn't like it. The second time I tried it, it was okay. And on the third try, I went to sleep. Thank you. Sarah with a S-E to the A to the H from Canada says doctors should prescribe this podcast. I've had troubles falling asleep since my daughter was born 9 months ago. Listen to the podcast for last week, fall asleep within 20 minutes. The podcast has really, really helped. SM Adonis from Denmark, love it. I keep forgetting that this is by far and away the best way to help fall asleep. L24 Chill says, love Big Farm in the Sky PI. Thanks, the Big Farm series helps me sleep every time. Even though I want to hear the ending, I love the podcast generally. Even though not every episode helps, I feel relaxed and comforted. Thank you. This one's from Hippopotamus. Says, finding Dear Scooter is the best. Dealt with a lot, and that all takes a back seat when I turn on Sleep With Me and listen to my best boyfriend forever talk nonsense. Used to take me hours to fall asleep. Now I hardly make it to the story. Thanks so much. Jula says, a lifelong night owl, now have a secret sauce to sleeping. I like bedtime, and I fall asleep. It's like a mind trick. Nothing like it. So thanks everybody who took the time to review the show over on CastBox and Apple Podcasts. And we're a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You check out, just finished its first season when I'm recording this, Adventures in New America. Amazing podcasts, sci-fi, political satire, Afro-futuristic buddy comedy, serialized and takes place in New America. Really good show. You can check it out at nightvalepresents.com or wherever you consume your podcast, Adventures in New America. Sleep With Me exists because of listener support, either directly on Patreon, through the merch store, through the sponsors. So thanks everybody that goes out of their way to support the show in those ways. And we're also a proud member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at PRX.org. And that's it. There's plenty of other episodes ready to go if you need them. Thanks and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these, this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But yeah, like this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback, feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support, support at supercast.com. And good night.